is from Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. It's on page 862 in the Bibles in the chairs. Psalm 24, verse 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory.
If you're able, would you please stand for the reading from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 14 through 18 from the New King James Version. After I've read, I will hold my Bible high and say, "This is the word of the Lord." I'd like you to respond heartily, "Thanks be to God." Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. Now, O Lord, we, your people, gathered here, eagerly look to your word. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. I continue this series, which I'm calling All Things New. We farmer children grew up in the Edenwald housing development, public housing, the projects in the Bronx, New York. A notable feature of every apartment door is the peephole. We were taught to never open the door without first looking through the peephole. And before we look through the peephole, we always ask the question, who is it? That's the standard question. And the answer to the question is verified by looking through the peephole. Sometimes we sang the question, who is it? That's the picture that will help us understand the 24th Psalm that was read in your hearing, verses 7 to 10. This is a psalm that probably, and there is no one passage about which this psalm is speaking. There is no one event that this psalm is addressing or summarizing. But this is a psalm that might have been sung antiphonally. Antiphonally simply means sound against sound, anti against phonos, sound. Antiphonal singing is sound against sound. Typically, there would be two choirs, one in the rear, one in the front. And they would sing opposite each other in the sacred space. The Italians call this kind of singing cori spezzati, that is, split choirs. In African-American music, you hear it all the time in the call and response songs. So a choir in the back sings, "Have you got good religion?" choir in the front. Certainly, Lord, back choir. Have you got good religion? Front choir. Certainly, Lord, back choir. Have you got good religion? Front choir. Certainly, Lord. Certainly, 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 Lord. That was antiphonal singing. Have you been baptized? Certainly, Lord. And they'd go back and forth. It was wonderful. It's seen in the writing of some hymns. While not necessarily sung antiphonally, you hear some hymns that clearly have what could be an antiphonal setup. For instance, Christ the Lord is risen today. Yes, then they'd sing, sons of men and angels sing. You got it. You got it. That's this psalm, this wonderful, wonderful psalm. Commentators have suggested that there are at least three ways we could see this Psalm 24, and I want to look at them, summarize them very, very briefly. First, you could see it in a liturgical context as a set of questions asked when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the place of worship. You remember the Ark of the Covenant is a wooden chest that God commanded the Israelites to make. And the chest symbolized the actual presence of God. Now, the Jewish people did not stand for any physical symbol of God's presence. They did not like idols. They did not like anything that was supposed to represent God. That holy name and that holy presence was so revered that they didn't think there could be anything physical that would be worthy to represent the presence of God except the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, that wooden chest, and you can read about how it was made exactly in the book of Exodus, but that wooden chest symbolized the actual presence of God. So it was thought that wherever that wooden chest is, there Yahweh is actually. So for instance, and I was reading this in preparation for this, I was rereading 2 Samuel chapter 6. There's a story in there, we won't turn to it now, but there's a story in there where the Ark of the Covenant winds up in the house of Obed-Edom. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 12, it says this, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom because the Ark of the Covenant was there. That it brought blessing, the spilling of the blessing of God was all over the house of Obed-Edom because the chest was there, the wooden chest was there. And King David says that the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom because of the Ark of God. And when in a worship procession, the ark is brought to the place of worship, there is an antiphonal, probably, perhaps, an antiphonal bit of worship that goes on there where the doorkeepers are on one side of the door and those bearing the Ark of the Covenant are on the other side of the door. And the doorkeepers say, who is it? And those bearing the ark say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, open the doors, the King of Glory is here. And those who are keeping the door say, and who is the King of Glory? And they holding the ark say, the Lord strong and mighty, he is the King of Glory. That's one way to see this antiphonal psalm. Secondly, you could see this set of questions, this lift up your head, all ye gates, who is the King of Glory? You could see this, secondly, as questions pertaining to Christ himself. Picture him after his time on the earth. Bible says he was on the earth about 33 years. He's 33 when he died. He had a public ministry beginning at age 30. So for 3 years, he was doing public ministry, miracles, training the disciples, teaching about the kingdom of God. And after his time on the earth, he went back to heaven. Picture him standing there, having shed his blood on the earth so that we could have access to the holy place. He now demands, standing in front of heaven's gate, that the gates be open. And you can hear the angels looking through the peephole. Let me use my sanctified imagination. Peeping through the people. Who's there? Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Open these doors. Who is it? The King of Glory. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. He is the King of Glory. Open the door. Open the gates. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. And the King of Glory is Christ himself. Some commentators say you could see this wonderful Psalm 24 and these wonderful antiphonal questions as those even uttered by Christ himself when he returns to glory as the King of Glory. Answer, who is it? Oh, the question, who is it? Answer, the Lord strong and mighty. You remember that question? There's a wonderful rhetorical question in Isaiah 63. One of these days I'm going to preach a series of sermons on just great questions of the Bible. Isaiah 63:1. It's a great question. Who is this who comes from Edom with garments dyed in red from Bozrah? Who is this? It is Christ himself. Who is it that's demanding that the doors be open? King of Glory. So you could see this as that part of a liturgical procession, or rather part of the liturgy as the ark is brought to the place of worship. You could see it as questions and answers that are offered in antiphonal style as Jesus himself, King of Glory, presents himself at the gates, so to speak. You could thirdly see this set of peephole questions, I call them, through the lens of the individual who is seeking spiritual truth. There's some of you out here this morning. There is a Christ who gave himself in your behalf, taking on the death and the punishment you could have and should have taken on. I describe it this way. You disobeyed God and you should die. And Jesus loved you so much, he said, let me die in your place. You should die, but I'll die for you. You're standing there saying, well, then what do I do? I tell you what, here's the trade. I'll die for you and you live for me. And he exchanges his life for ours. He says to us in a thousand different ways, I would like to come in to your life. Well, some of us have a gate there. Some of us live gated community lives. Open the gates. Who's there? Jesus. And I want to come in. It's the King of Glory. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Let me in. Some of you have not opened that gate. You have not said yes to him. But you'd be a fool to turn this one away. He offers all that you need, all that you're longing for. You don't even know what you need, but you just simply know there's a gaping hole in your life and in your heart and in your mind, and Jesus Christ can fill it. Someone has said if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been for money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness. So God sent us a savior. And there are some of you here this morning saying, who is it? Who is this trying to get in my life and take it over? He's saying, open the gates. And you're saying, who is it? It's the King of Glory. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Now, if you're smart, let me in. This set of questions could be used as the ark is coming to the temple. This set of questions could be used and uttered as Jesus himself offers himself at the gate of heaven, as the angels welcome him home. This set of questions could be used for you who are running from God. King of Glory wants to come in. When I was 12 years old, my mother was raising four children by herself during those years. Do any of you remember trading stamps, plaid stamps, green S&H stamps, gold bond stamps? You remember these stamps? Every time you made a purchase, you got stamps. It was just like cards today at Kroger where you get points for your purchases. Well, you got these stamps, and you actually had a book, and you physically licked the stamps, put them in this book. You fill up the books, and then they had a catalog of items that you could get for your home with these books of stamps. And do you remember the name of the place where you take the books of stamps? You go to the Redemption Center and turn in the books, and then you could get a toaster for 17 books or something like that. Okay. At the time I was growing up, the Redemption Center had in the catalog Bibles. And my mother traded in her plaid stamps and got Bibles for her children. Unfortunately, mine was stolen, but I still remember that Bible. It was a King James Bible, black cover with a zipper around it. I tell people I got redeemed because my mother went to the Redemption Center, got me a Bible. That's a true story. I started reading the Bible when I was 12, and I'd been in church all my life. I'd gone to Sunday school, vacation, Bible school. But when I read the Gospels in my own Bible, it seemed more true. And on the basis of what I read, in a very private moment at 1107 East 229th Street on the corner of Laconia and 229th Street, apartment 3B. In a very private moment, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. That night, my mother was washing dishes. I still remember this. She doesn't remember this. But I went to her and I said, next Sunday when Pastor Lloyd gives the invitation, I'm going up there. And my mother said, do you know what you're doing? I said, yes, ma'am. I knew I'd been born again that week. I wasn't in church. Nobody was leading me. I was reading the Word of God, and everything I'd heard since I was a child, it all came together and coalesced, and I got it. And I opened the gates of my heart, and the King of Glory came in. And it can happen to you. Who is the King of Glory? Who's there? Who's knocking on my door? Look through the people. It's Jesus. And he's better for you inside you and working out the changes in your life than he is standing outside you because you won't let him in. King of Glory. He wants to come in. I got to close this. On July 4th, 2011, I read that Otto von Habsburg, also known as Otto of Austria, former head of the House of Habsburg and sovereign of the Order of the Golden Fleece and former crown prince and by pretense emperor king of Austria-Hungary, died at age 98. A traditional ceremony is held in Austria, and during the funeral, this was done for Otto von Habsburg when he died at age 98 in 2011. The funeral procession goes to the gates of the Capuchin Church under which the imperial crypt lies, and the herald knocks on the door. This is part of the tradition. And a Capuchin monk then asks, who demands entry? That is, who's there? And the herald responds with, Otto of Austria, former crown prince of Austria-Hungary, prince royal of Hungary and Bohemia, of Dalmatia, Croatia, Slavonia, Galicia, Lodomeria, and Illyria, Grand Duke of Tuscany and Krakow, Duke of Lorraine and Salzburg. And they go on and on and on, name all his titles. And the Capuchin then responds, we don't know him. Then the procedure is repeated. The second time, they say, who demands entry? And the herald responds, Dr. Otto von Habsburg, And they give a number of his civic achievements, notably as principal or president of the Pan-European Union and member of the European Parliament. And the doorkeeper again responds, "We don't know him." Then the third time, they say, "Who demands entry?" And the herald says, "Otto, a mortal, sinful human being." The Capuchin monk says, "So he may come in." The crypt is then opened, and the dead Habsburg is admitted into the crypt. Some of us have letters and titles in front of and behind our name. We've had the privilege of global travel and engagement. Some have generated millions of dollars through business and investments and inheritance. Some have enjoyed many of the luxuries that this world has to offer. But when we stand at that gate on that day, none of those things will matter. On that day, our portfolios will carry no weight at all. On that day, it will not matter how many pages are on our passports and how many pages have been stamped. It won't matter where we've gone, where we've been. The Lord himself will say, "Who is it?" I want to be able to say, "Papa, it is I." Someone has described heaven as an unknown region with a well-known inhabitant. And one of these days, I'm going there. I had a lady ask me, "How can you know? You sound so confident." I said, "I am." She said, "Well, how can you really know? Don't we just do the best we can and hope that our good works outweigh our bad works?" I said, "Oh, no. So we have assurance. We're not blessed guessing. We have blessed assurance." I said to her, her name was Pearl. I said, "Pearl, suppose God wrote you a letter and said, 'Heaven is yours if you receive me.'" She said, "Well, if he wrote me a letter, I'd of course believe it." I said, "Well, he did." I took her to John 14. And I read aloud to her, "I go to prepare a place for you. For the wherever I am, you may be also." This presumes that you open the gates. "Lift up your head, all ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. Now open those doors. And let him in. I got to close. You know that I have but one son. Great delight to his father. When Timothy was a little boy, we played this game, and I got to quit. He would come to sit on my lap, about 2, maybe 3 years old. He'd come and just try to climb into my lap. I said, "Oh, you can't sit here. This lap is reserved for my son." He said, "But I am your son." I said, "Prove it. How do you know you're my son?" And I was using it as a way to teach him about his family. I said, "What's my mother's name?" He said, "Grandma." I said, "What's my sister's name?" "Aunt Sean." Then he'd go on and on. I said, "Sounds like you know who you are. You know who I am. Yes, you may sit on my lap." We played that game over and over, scores of times. God has children, but he has no grandchildren. You can't climb up into his lap because your mama was a good Christian. It won't matter. He has no grandchildren, only children. Only those who have opened the gates of their hearts and let him in. And you're a fool if you keep the gates closed when this King of glory wants to come in. Who is it? It is I, and I'm your child. Prove it. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and he promised me. And on the basis of my giving my life to him, heaven was mine. And access to you, O God, was mine. And on the authority of Jesus Christ, who came into the gates of my life, I now come to you. And I hear God say, you indeed are my child. Amen. Yes. Come on up here. Yes. Let us pray. Papa, thank you for Jesus Christ, the King of Glory. Thank you for this one who came that we might be made new. We mourn the days we have kept the gates of our own hearts closed. Mourn the days we have spent more time asking, who is it, than we spent welcoming him. Thank you for giving us your mercy, for giving us time to respond to you. I pray for those whose hearts are closed doors. Pray that this would be the day they say yes to you, open their hearts, receive you. We are expecting that you will teach us your ways and that you will revive us so that we may live out what it means to have the King of Glory living in us. Have your way in us, O Lord. We open ourselves to you afresh, anew. We shall give you glad praise as you continue to rise up in us. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before we proceed,